Welcome to Dear Jane. It's our Christmas episode.
You're looking very festive.
Yeah, and you don't.
Well, I didn't get the memo.
How about that? This is the extent of my Christmas wardrobe right here. Oh, Nutcracker. Is that actually a Nutcracker?
It is.
Oh, how about that?
Straight from Germany. I got my tree in the background. I guess I'm here like the party atmosphere, and you've got the costume to go with it.
There we go. That is the...
Should I just leave this guy? Oh, you can't really...
Oh, that's kind of cool.
On something. I'll just leave him here.
So it's the Christmas episode of Dear Jane. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus, but it's good to be back, and it's good to be talking about... we're going to talk about a little bit about pregnancy centers, and maybe they might be a good service, a good resource to support this holiday season.
Yeah. Did you know I used to work at a pregnancy center, Scott?
No, did you?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you do?
I was their marketing person. So I managed their social media. On day two of my job, we got hit by one of the things that the other side likes to do to pregnancy centers sometimes is flood their like Google listing with fake negative reviews. Mm-hmm. So I got to come up with a game plan to get those removed on my second day of the job, which is super fun. Yeah.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna talk to Laura here in just a second with Choose Life Marketing. You know, I'm a little nervous. Since this is our Christmas episode, you know, tomorrow we're having a online Christmas party, kinda. Mm-hmm. Is that
it's going to be fun. Yeah.
So one of my assignments, I want to run this by you, see if you can. One of my assignments was to come up with trivia questions from Christmas movies.
Ooh, I'm going to dominate that game. I'm so good at Christmas movies.
Really? All right. So let's try this.
I say that and no.
What are the names of the two burglars on Home Alone?
Is one of them Bert?
Nope. You're thinking
I should know this because I love Home Alone.
So far the domination's off to a slow start.
Not great.
Harry and Marv.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
Marv.
What happens every time a bell rings?
An angel gets its wings.
All right, very good, very good. And see, what I try to do with these, I try to have some for the old timers like me, mm-hmm. and then some for the younger ones.
That's good.
Let's see, how many Home Alone movies are there?
Three.
Six.
There are right? Six.
Yeah.
What are the other ones?
Oh, pfft.
I stopped watching after two. I'm more of an OG.
Yeah, I can't remember if I even saw three or not. What are, I'll run two more by you, see if these are any good. Okay. What, according to Buddy the Elf, what are the four food groups?
Oh, see, sugar. I'm not a huge elf fan. I know everyone thinks it's the greatest, funniest. Do you know what it is? I'm actually not a Will Ferrell fan.
Well, okay. But Elf? Buddy the Elf?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more of a Home Alone person, but clearly not even that, because I couldn't come up with the
You also hate America?
No.
Buddy the Elf.
So no, I'm good with America.
The four food groups, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Candy.
Well, and still, so that ruins my favorite question. Well, I had some more Buddy the Elves, but since you're such a Grinch. What about... Who recites the story of the birth of Jesus in a Charlie Brown Christmas? Okay. And what does he do? What unique action does he do while he's telling that story?
Unique action?
He does something, Linus does something very, very unique that he has never done before or since while he's telling the story of the birth of Jesus.
He's not holding his blanket.
He drops his security blanket.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's good. Right. That's some good trivia.
All right. My favorite one, but you won't know, is according to Buddy the Elf, upon what does the fake Santa sit?
A throne of lies. And he smells like beef and cheese. See, See, I know some of it.
There you go.
I didn't know the four food groups.
You know the important parts. All right. So let's talk about pregnancy centers, how we can help them maybe this time of year. They're just like any other nonprofit. This is really an important time of year to step up and help them. But first, let's hear from our sponsor, Choose Life Marketing.
Choose Life Marketing can help you if you are a pro-life nonprofit. Whether you are, you know, thinking about how you can raise more money, I think that's one way that Choose Life Marketing is a little bit unique. Some people think, how could I hire a marketing agency? Because I don't have the funds for it. Choose Life Marketing can help you with that. We have a phenomenal fundraising team. But whether you have a marketing plan and you just need help executing it, or you don't even know how to put together a marketing plan, Choose Life Marketing can help. They'll start from wherever you are and go from there and put together a phenomenal service so you can reach the people that you need to reach. Whether, let's say, you're a pregnancy center, you need to reach more abortion-minded women, or maybe you work in, you know, in public policy space, or you're doing community work in the pro-life space. Choose Life Marketing can help with all of that, getting your message out there, helping connect you to the right people. So check them out, ChooseLifeMarketing.com.
Speaking of Choose Life Marketing, Laura Howell is the Pregnancy Resource Center liaison, and she joins us here to talk about ways that we can help out the PRCs during the holiday season. She's our guest today on Dear Jane. So it is that time of year, and we're thinking about ways that we can give back, and we're thinking about our friends at the Pregnancy Resource Centers. Laura, you've got experience in that world. What are our friends at the centers looking for this time of year?
They are looking for lots of different things. They are busy right now as they focus on year end and wrapping up all the things that they need to do and trying to make their budget and set their budget for the next year. So I would say, obviously, because this is a year-end time of year, the giving time of year, they're definitely looking for more monthly donors and support. That is huge for the instabilities of our economy and all the ups and downs. It just helps a center navigate those and be able to plan ahead better when they have that steady monthly donor support that's just foundational to everything that they do. When I talk with some of my friends that run centers, they definitely are hoping, as they finish this year and go into the new year, that they would be able to engage with younger donors as well. And, as those millennials and even those Gen Zers become, of that giving age and start, giving of their time and their finances, pregnancy centers would love to be able to build those relationships and really connect with younger supporters. And then we're just seeing a really a lot of centers are just looking at expanding, and that's exciting to know that they're looking for either bigger buildings or looking at moving into additional locations. And that really takes a different type of donor. It's kind of that investor mindset donor that's willing to possibly give that bigger gift that helps with the beginning stages of fundraising for something like a new building or new location. So kind of those outside-the-box thinking donors who want to see the pregnancy centers grow and expand, maybe move into a community where they don't have any kind of support services like that. So really those visionary investor kind of donors too.
When it comes to the issue of abortion, what difference do pregnancy centers make?
That's a great question. Pregnancy centers started a couple of years after Roe. Well, actually just 1 year after Roe. And really to be that solution for a woman who doesn't know what to do, who's facing that crisis. I would say what has changed a lot over the decades is that the heavy marketing of abortion and abortion pills, and it has put pregnancy centers in a position where they need to also do marketing to reach those women. And they are that critical piece when that woman is searching in the middle of the night on her phone for help and support, wondering what she's going to do. And they're the people that can step in and say, take a breath, come talk with us. abortion isn't your only option. There are other things. We want to support you. We want to make sure that you're okay. And so pregnancy centers have really had to figure out how to navigate that, how to reach her so early, and jump in before she orders that abortion pill or schedules that abortion.
What, as pregnancy centers put together their case for donations, mm-hmm. what do they normally say? I mean, how do they measure their, what's a good way for them to measure their impact as they're reaching out to donors? And please say that was a great question like you did for
that, us. That's a really great question too, Scott. Well, every year the pregnancy centers look at all their statistics. So, and more centers have to be more and more savvy in terms of, you know, it's very good to collect data and keep data and watch the ebbs and flows of who you're serving and who you're not reaching. And so at year end, it's just really looking at all of that data, sharing with donors how many people have come to your center, how many people who came to your center that were considering abortion actually made a decision for life. A lot of times within that, you'll also share about how many people had ultrasounds, because ultrasounds really are the game changer for these centers and for women that come in. Even if they know that they're pregnant and carrying a baby, there's just something that happens in that ultrasound room when they see their own baby and they see that little beating heart. And some centers share the heartbeat sound, and it's just such a powerful moment of a mom, and sometimes a dad's in there too, to hear that. And so sharing a lot about just success stories of people who came in, chose life. For those centers that have resource programs like parenting programs, just sharing, you know, stories from there, and stories, if you have a fatherhood program, just about the dads who are being ministered to through these pregnancy centers, because a lot of centers are really growing and realizing how important it is to reach dads too. Dads, we know that they're, you know, a big part of the decision when it comes to an unexpected pregnancy. But a woman really can base a lot of what she chooses to do on the approval or disapproval of her partner. So,
how have things gotten harder for pregnancy centers post Roe?
That was when I asked some center directors, I was like, what would you like for Christmas? And one of the questions, or one of the answers they said, was they just want the tide to turn. Mm-hmm. And it has been a weary road for a lot of them in the last 2 years, especially with their state leadership. In, you know, a lot of blue states, they are turning on the very centers that are there supporting people in their states and helping and providing resources and such. They want a reprieve from the attacks and just the false information that is spread from the top. I mean, even there's a lot of states where some of their state leadership don't have very good things to say about centers, and none of them are true. Right. But that really, it becomes very weary for those centers. So they would just love to see that tide turn politically and to have support from the top.
You know, one of the things, when I've had a chance to talk to some centers, I tell them they've got a great case to make for the social impact that they have, beyond just, you know, choosing life or not. Obviously, that's the most important thing. But when you start to talk about whether it's the diapers they hand out or the food or the clothes or the trainings or whatever, that has a huge social impact. And so even if, you know, you're talking to someone, a donor or something, who maybe, you know, choosing life or not isn't at the top of their list, mm-hmm. There are other really good cases you can make for the good and the impact that you have as a center.
That actually ties back to your question about what kinds of things did you share with donors as you're going into the new year. And sometimes that is such a fascinating statistic, and a lot of centers do share it, how many diapers they distributed, because they do keep track of what comes in and what goes out, how much formula, baby clothing, all of that, how many people attended their parenting classes or their childbirth classes. And those, when you start adding it up, it's really incredible. Yeah. It's also a huge encouragement to churches in the community, and I think it inspires them to get engaged more, because having a baby shower or a diaper drive or something like that is such a tangible way they can support women who are experiencing unexpected pregnancies via pregnancy centers. And pregnancy centers always need, I'll do a little plug, they always need larger size diapers. It's way cheaper. You get a lot more diapers in the newborn size. But so many centers really look at what their community offers. And in a lot of communities, social services start at 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And so they want to fill that gap of really helping that woman from the time of discovering that she's pregnant until her baby is 2 or 3. And so they need support to help her. And a lot of their programs are Earn While You Learn. And so while they're coming in and working on parenting skills and relationship skills and budgeting and all of that, they're earning all the things that they need for their children. And those come from faithful supporters in the community. So it's really neat. It's really neat to see clients go through those whole programs and then graduate at the end. And a lot of centers now do something to acknowledge that graduation. And they have accomplished so much. Thousands of hours by the time they get done.
That's amazing. It's so interesting to hear about all of the incredible things that pregnancy centers do, and then to contrast that with the press that they get, which is often sadly the opposite of what's actually happening. What would you say some of the most common misconceptions are about pregnancy centers?
They're fake clinics. I mean, that is the biggest one, and that's the biggest misconception that they have to fight against in terms of that PR battle. So even though we hear it and we know they're not fake clinics, most of them are medical, with medical directors and medical staff. That narrative just sticks out there. And what happens in the pregnancy center is you have Gen Z, that's who you're serving. And while they're not watching the nightly news all the time, they hear the narrative. Mm-hmm. And so they have big misconceptions when they come into the center. But I would say that is the biggest one. Centers do a really good job of making sure people know what kind of services they offer, that they're no cost or free, that kind of thing. But it's really hard when the other side constantly is saying that they're fake. So,
how's it going? You mentioned them being attacked, and you know, you mean that both literally and figuratively. But in terms of the literal attacks that we saw, especially right after Dobbs, how are we doing there? And even more importantly, perhaps not more importantly, but I would imagine centers have had to invest more funds in safety precautions and things like that. Is that accurate?
For sure. I mean, definitely the first few months after when Roe was overturned, I think nobody really knew what was going to happen. And then right away you saw just the other side was just so passionate about just in their attacks. And so centers had to all of a sudden come up with security systems and cameras, and some of them bulletproof glass to keep them safe and things like that. And so that continues, and it's something that they always evaluate. I don't think it was a bad thing. I think there is always an element of risk when you are sitting in the midst of this hot issue of abortion, and you are trying to provide a life-affirming option and support. And so a lot of centers were already there in terms of security measures, but a lot weren't. And so I just think it brought them up to another level, you know, to assure that they're safe, their staff are safe, but even more so, their clients are safe too. So
what's the future for pregnancy centers? What are things that you think they're excited to be working on? Maybe even like what keeps them going, what exciting or hopeful things keep them going every day?
I definitely see pregnancy centers going up a notch in terms of their professionalism. You know, 20 years ago when they realized that to be super effective was to go medical, that was a huge leap for centers, because that meant having to pay nurses and find medical directors and do all the things that you need to do with HIPAA compliance and all of that. Even though you don't need to do that, but there's just a lot of centers that they want to be providing the best services. And so I think now I just see another level. A lot of centers, they want to stay mission focused on reaching that abortion determined woman. They're always trying to figure out what that key piece is to getting their name out there in front of that woman who is searching for that abortion online. Obviously, we've seen a lot of it is in marketing, and this is a digital generation. So being more savvy in terms of the digital space, making sure that they're present there, that they are being competitive. Their competitor is Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics and abortion pill providers. And to compete against them takes financial resources that they never could have imagined 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, we used to, when I was working in centers, and we would have to decide what size Yellow Page ads we wanted to pay for those of you who know what the Yellow Pages are, you would choke because they would be like this teeny, you know, 1-inch square for $1,500. And you're like, $1,500? Well, that's an ad budget for one center on Google. So they're just having to figure out where they can be and where they can show up more and more online. I think centers are wanting to, a lot of them are moving to a really comprehensive model. So that might look like some kind of prenatal care for the first 12 weeks. It has been, I think, especially since COVID, very challenging for women who do want to choose life to get into the doctor on time, especially if you are dependent on like a government type of insurance. And so centers are seeing that gap and they're saying, what if we provide services, you know, for the first 12 weeks until they can get into a regular doctor, just to make sure that she's getting the care she needs and so is her baby. I see them really looking at expanding. I mean, that used to be like the thought of another location is overwhelming as a leader to think we're going to open this and find staff and fund it and everything. And I have just seen such a new boldness in centers saying there's a gap there. We're not over in that part of our community. Maybe it's with a mobile unit. And they realize, you know, we're going to have a couple of brick and mortars, but there's still places that we want to be, and it would be easier to get there with a mobile unit. So I just think they're being innovative in how they reach women, and that has been really amazing to see. They're more professional in just their whole operational model. I see the conferences that they attend, really looking at pouring into the leaders. People are staying in leadership in centers a long time. It's a very weary job. And so I see people circling around center directors too and saying, how can we help you do what you want to do better and more effective? So
what's an easy way for people to find out more about their local pregnancy center, to look them up?
Well, definitely look online, look under pregnancy center. There's a few that still go by Crisis Pregnancy Center, not recommended, but some of them still do. There's definitely directories online too, put out by some of the national organizations that will show where your local pregnancy center is. And so that's the best way. A lot of them right now are doing open houses and tours. If they're not, just reach out to the center leadership and ask if you can come have a tour of the center and see it. Some of them have dedicated days that they do a tour. Maybe when clients aren't there, just to protect their clients' privacy, go to their events. And so if you are sitting in church and you have a church that supports a pregnancy center, that's a great church. But also, go to the Walk for Life. A lot of pregnancy centers have a Walk for Life. They have a gala where they have clients that share their testimonies. They do baby bottle campaigns, any of those things that you can participate in. A lot of those are family friendly too, so it's a great way to engage your kids. And my kids have grown up carrying around baby bottles and putting their coins and dollars in them, and they participated in the Walk for Life. So it's something that you can do with your kids. It starts them at a very young age learning how to support women who are navigating the world of an unexpected pregnancy. So
that sounds really good. Laura with Choose Life Marketing, thank you very much for telling us the truth about pregnancy centers and how we can help them out. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thanks again for listening to Dear Jane.
You can follow along every day on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And make sure you also are subscribed so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube. Ring that bell so you're notified and you never miss an episode.